All right. Thank you, Derek. What a great song. This morning, I'm not going to tell you to turn any specific place in the Bible. We're going to look in a lot of places in the Bible. The title of the message is, We Ought to Pray. We ought to pray. In the Bible, prayer is constant. It's powerful, it's commanded, it's private, it's public, it's personal, it's corporate, it's globally minded, it's tear-filled, it's hopeful, it's spirit-led, and a million other ways that we can describe it. And we're going to pray this morning that God will do a work in our hearts. Often we hear sermons on prayer, and we all say, I should pray more. And then the next time the sermon comes around about prayer, we say, I should pray more. We read a book or books on prayer. If you haven't, you should. We read it and we say, I should pray more. And until we read the next book, and then we say again, I should pray more. So I just pray today that this today will be different. Today will be different. I'm going to share a lot of Bible verses with you. Usually my pattern is I take a set of verses and then we expound on them and do our best to see what God is teaching us through them. Today we're just going to let God's Word, for the most part today, that God's Word will just speak to us over and over and over again about prayer. You will not be able to keep up if you try to follow switching from one page to the next. So let's pray and let's ask God to do a work in our hearts that today will be the day that we turn into people that really pray. Father, we thank you that you've brought us to this place in this time. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That you have taught us to confess our sins and to ask for our needs and to pray for your will to be done in your kingdom to come. That you have told us that we are to pray together to our Father. And that we have a relationship, a fatherly relationship with God above. Lord, we know that we are weak and unable to do this thing, this simple thing called prayer. We ask today, O Lord, if you'd be so kind to brand it upon our hearts and upon our minds, that prayer to us will be like breathing. That we will every day seek out more breath and more breath to pray to you, O Lord, in every season and for every reason. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, that we may have life and has given us access to the throne, that we may approach your throne of grace with confidence. And we do this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer in the church is not often like what we see in the Bible. The verb pray is found 83 times in the Old Testament. The noun prayer is found 85 times in the Old Testament. The verb to pray is found 99 times in the New Testament. And the noun prayer is found 55 times in the New Testament. Plus, there are countless other instances where we read people's prayers. The book of Psalms is a book of songs and prayers from various people toward God. So I want us to examine today much of what the New Testament teaches us about prayer. And let's allow God's Word to instruct us in depth today. I want to claim no wisdom of my own, but only that which God's Word gives us today. We will consider many scripture, and I want you to notice as we do that prayer in the Bible is both private and corporate. Meaning it is something you do alone, and it is something you do together with the saints of God. And there is no debate about that. There is no debate, if you read your Bible, where you would walk away and say, prayer is only a private thing. Zero debate. It is both private and a gathering. Prayer in the New Testament. Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. He says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He says, after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. Scriptures say, then children were brought to Him that He might lay His hands on them and pray. He says to the disciples, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's said of Jesus that rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. He says to the disciples, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And wherever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespass. It said that in those days He went out to the mountain to pray, and all night He continued in prayer to God. We see Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught His disciples. It says He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus says that we're to stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all the things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus prayed for the disciples. He prayed specifically for Peter before He's about to deny Him. And He says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for three or four chapters. He says this, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. We see in the Acts of the Apostles how the early church prayed. In Acts 4, it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We see a man named Cornelius, a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and he prayed continually to God. Speaking of Peter, it says the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. That's in the middle of the day. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, at about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. In Acts chapter 12, speaking of Peter, it says, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Says that after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Speaking of Paul, it says when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. In Acts 21, speaking of Paul again, when our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey. And they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed. As Paul was traveling, they run into some trouble on a ship. He says, and fearing that we might run into rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and they prayed for day to come. It says it happened that the father of Publius lay sick and fever and dysentery. I'll get it right in a second. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. Paul teaches us in Romans, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Paul writes to the Corinthians saying, while they long for you and pray for you. He says again, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong. And again, we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. To the Ephesians, he encourages them to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. In Colossians, he writes, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. He says to them, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, I'm not done yet. What I'm trying to do is to show you all of the various ways and places and times and situations and for what people prayed for in the Bible. All of these have unique things about them that teach us about prayer. He says to the Colossians, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I'm in prison. He writes to the Thessalonians, a church in the city of Thessalonica. He says, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. 1 Thessalonians, this is brought up in our prayer time this morning.
chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. He goes on in a few verses and says, brothers, pray for us. He writes to them again. He said, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good work and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread ahead and be honored as happened among you. To young Timothy, he writes, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. To Philemon, he writes, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. James, the brother of Jesus, says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. He also says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. He tells us of Elijah, who was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. John the Apostle writes, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Jude, the brother of Jesus, says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, all of those are instances of where the verb to pray is used. Now, I have a few instances where the noun prayer is used in the New Testament. In Matthew 21, verse 13, it says, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. In Acts, it says of the disciples and those that were saved, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Again, we see now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, the middle, the afternoon of the day. The disciples said they will devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. When Peter was arrested, it said he was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was made for him, was made to God by the church. When Paul was in Philippi, it says on the Sabbath day, he went outside the gates to the riverside where we suppose there was a place of prayer. In Romans 10, Paul writes, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. We're told to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and to be constant in prayer. He says to the Corinthians, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. We've been looking through the book of Philippians at the last part of 2019. And we've looked at these verses where he says, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. He said, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. He will write, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He tells Timothy, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Speaking of Jesus, the author of Hebrews writes, the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Peter, speaking to husbands, says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. He also says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And finally, in Revelation chapter 8, you see a beautiful picture of our prayers. It says, another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, the prayers of the saints, rose before God from the hand of the angel. The simplest sense of what it means to pray is to communicate with God. It was said of Moses, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Last year I gave you a definition that John Calvin used of prayer, where he called it the chief exercise of faith. That the way that we primarily exercise our faith is in prayer. Throughout the Bible, you have seen and we see prayer used in many ways and times by different people. We see the rich and the poor praying. We see people praying in private, groups gathered in public. We see praising, we see complaining, we see wondering, begging, we see humility. We see it as a habit. We see it as a way to determine God's plan. People praying for their family, for their self, for their nation, for other nations, for leaders. We see prayer against enemies and for enemies, for God's deliverance and looking for answers to God's word. We see prayer against temptation. We see it as a privilege. We see it in joy, in agony, in agreement, for unity, in expectation, for faith, for power, for judgment, for revelation, for grace, for knowledge, for help, for healing. We see prayer that we receive every spiritual gift and every fruit of the Spirit. We see prayer for the lost of the world, that they might be saved. We see it for watchfulness, to remind us of God's promises, to help us conform to His will. We see it in moments of triumph and in moments of failure. We see it as it is interceding for others. We see that it is unceasing. We see that it is often forgotten. We see that prayers are heard and prayers are not heard. We see that they bring about patience and hope, that they are done in confidence and in wavering, recalling the character of God, recalling the promises of God. We see that they are a sign of life and vitality within the church and within the person. We see them answered with a yes, with wait, and with no. We see they're effective and that they accomplish many great things that would have never been accomplished had they not been prayed. And always, the God of creation listening and hearing the prayers of His children. Like a good father would hear from his children. Prayers, we see, seemingly, hear me, eternally dwelling in the presence of Almighty God as incense before God. And as we saw in that book, in that Revelation, as if they're in bowls, large bowls near the throne of God, being brought up to God, never forgotten, always remembered. And the application today is, what do you think we ought to do when it comes to prayer? Do you think we pray enough, or that we do not pray enough? I'm certain that I do not pray enough. Not even close. I'm convinced that that's probably the case for most of us in here. Most of us. And I don't know for certain. I just know a lot of us. And the question is, what will we do about it? We see very clearly. I read to you 64 places where it talked about prayer in the New Testament. That's not even half of them in the New Testament alone. And then we got all the Old Testament stuff and the actual prayers that were prayed. Will this be another sermon on prayer that is left at church? Maybe it will get a few attaboys, hopefully, right? Will it be like those countless books on prayer, teaching and revealing yet unheeded? Will we wait for someone else to speak up about praying more? Or will we ask for more opportunities to pray? Will we be proactive? Will we come up with ideas? You know, you don't have to wait on me to plan prayer. You don't have to wait for the church to do these things. I don't think it's acceptable to God to hear, "Well, Lord, others weren't praying. They didn't pray at a good time for me. The pastor didn't do it. The deacons didn't do it. We didn't have the program set up." You are the program. You are. Prayer is the simplest thing, and it is the hardest thing to do as a Christian. You know, I believe that Satan doesn't mind us reading our Bibles as much as he minds us praying. I think he likes sometimes for us to get us a lot of knowledge in our head, but not to abide in Christ in prayer. The church in the Bible is known to be much about prayer. The church today in America is known to be much about prayer when tragedy hits, when 9/11 happens, when we go to war, when there's a school shooting, when there's a church shooting. Push to pray when there is an emergency. But this was not the way of Jesus. He lived in prayer. He prayed regularly. He prayed daily. He prayed fervently. He prayed alone, and he prayed with his disciples. Prayerless was not the way of the early church either. They were devoted to prayer, often meeting together in homes to pray, meeting at the synagogue or even down by the river to pray. Prayer was the way of Paul, who never seemed to stop praying, telling us that we are to pray without ceasing. The church today is devoted. We are very devoted. The word devoted means loyal to or given over to. To devote means to give a large part of one's resources to something. Now, we may be money, it may be things, it may be time, it may be energy. And we are, in America, in the church, very, very devoted. We are devoted to sports. Every week we find hours to devote to sports, to reading about sports, to playing sports, to talking about sports, to watching other people talk about sports. That's like watching other people fish. Do you watch people fish? I can't think of... That's just... We watch people fish. We're devoted to TV. We give hours to TV a week. We're devoted to social media, giving ourselves to who knows how much time. We read about news, fashion, politics, entertainment, business, gossip. What will we say about hunting? You know, Jeffrey told me one time, if I talked about hunting one more time, that he was going to whoop me. He didn't say it like that. It was something like that. But how much time do we devote to hunting? Should I go there? Maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe sometimes I think maybe hunters got it figured out. They spent hours in the woods alone. And I've heard testimony from many of them that they spent a lot of hours praying in the woods. We see that in the Bible. Not that they were hunting, but they went off alone to pray. I know that when I'm in a deer stand, I don't do it very much. I should more. It's a great time to pray. Hunters, you're off the hook today. All right? All right. Okay. Unless you don't pray. We're devoted to much learning. We love to be taught, so much so that some people in churches won't come to prayer meeting because it's more focused on prayer than it is on a Bible study. And about our prayer meetings, what is up with our prayer meetings? Like, seriously, why is it not better attended? Are we too strung out? Too busy running here and running there? Is it a bad time? If it's a bad time, I'll change it. We'll do it at another time. Heck, we'll start four or five different ones. Like if 6:30 on Wednesday night's a bad time for you, we'll do 6:30 on Thursday night for you, or 4:30 in the morning on Wednesday. I don't care. It doesn't matter. We're called to pray. We have no excuse. And again, remember I said, prayer is both private and corporate. We pray in private and we gather for prayer. This is what we see in the Bible. This is the way the church works. Or our Sunday morning time of prayer. It is attended by a handful of faithful people. And I ask, is 9 too early to get here for prayer? I'm just asking for a friend. I don't want to be sarcastic. But is 9 too early? Because I'm pretty sure that my kids have to be at school at 7:30 Monday through Friday. And somehow or another, we are able to get them there around that time. Because they say that we'll have to go to truancy court if we don't. I mean, what if God said, you're going to go to court if you don't get somewhere for prayer every week? I'm just saying, there's much to pray for. When I read those verses, did you see all the things that they prayed for? All the different things. From people being sick, to praying for people to be filled with knowledge, to praying for boldness, to praying for the lost to be saved. Everything imaginable. Now I promise you, I did not intend to get on to us about not coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night or Sunday morning. But as I went over this last night, the Holy Spirit was heavy on me about it. So I felt I needed to do that. While I'm at it, let me address a couple other objections that I hear. I hear that prayer time is too depressing. It's all about praying for sick people. Or I don't want to be praying out loud. First of all, no one is going to make you pray out loud. If you want to pray silently, please do. And pray silently. But I do wonder why we are afraid. Has God not given us a spirit of power, or has He given us a spirit of fear? Do we worry we'll be judged by our prayers? Worry about what others think? Is there a root of pride in us? You know, not all nervousness is humility. Sometimes it's pride. That we worry too much about what others think about us instead of what God thinks about us. Consider that. A simple prayer, some of the simplest prayers. He's not here today, so I'm going to point him out. David Taylor. Pray for Katrina. She's there in the hospital. Think she's fine. She's having some heart She doesn't have anything wrong with her heart, but she's have some chest things. Sometimes when he prays, it's 20 seconds long. You've been in here with him when he prays. Simple, to the point, powerful. Maybe your prayer is, "Oh God, please help us. Amen." We can do that. We can do that. We talk about prayer being depressing. Yes, it is sometimes. We often pray about sick people. Lots of sick people. You know why? Because they need to be prayed for. We pray, though, in hope, expecting God to do something. We pray for the sick people because we believe that God can heal them. And you know what? We have countless examples of God doing that very thing. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders and have them pray for them. We pray in hope. And this isn't all we should pray for. If your prayer time is only about sick people, then it's just very lopsided. It's not a million of other things that we can pray for. Like persecuted Christians and lost people. And that our people in here will love the Word of God and will love prayer. And that marriages will be strong and children will be protected from things at school. And that we will flee temptation. There's many things to pray for. And you should bring them up in prayer time. If you don't want to hear about little Sally Joe with her broken finger, bring up another prayer request. We pray for anything. Your prayers are just, this is something that people do not know. It's odd to me. Your prayers are just as strong as my prayers. There is nothing special about me. I do not have more access to God than you do. I want you to know that. Priests, pastors, deacons, we don't have a special connection to God that you don't have. Special connection comes from those who know God's Word, who pray in faith, and they pray often. And they live godly lives. Your prayers are just as important as any of ours. I know this. A church or a family that is more devoted to the things of the world than prayer will be a church or a family that looks like the world. A church more devoted to the things of the world then prayer will see small worldly things happening in their church. But a church that is devoted to prayer, they will see the glory of God. They will see the hand of God moving in unimaginable ways. Paul says this in his prayer to the Ephesians. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Do you pray to God? And when you pray, do you get through and think, "God, you can do far more abundantly than what I just asked for"? That is the promise in the Bible concerning prayer. That God is able to do more than you even ask. We're told by James, we don't have simply because we don't ask. And when we do ask, we ask amiss, with a double mind, not believing. Now, that is not to say that you have the right to pray for anything. You must pray according to the nature of God and in the will of God. That Lamborghini that you want, probably not. Hunters, that 12 point you praying for. You know, I think God loves the 12 points too, okay? They're beautiful. I prayed for that so many times. I cannot tell you how many times that prayer has went unanswered. A million. He doesn't answer every prayer, but he answers many. And everyone wants to see God move in their church. So we give money, we make plans, we start programs, but do we pray earnestly? Do we set apart multiple times a day to pray as the church prayed, or gather with other Christians for times of prayer? Or do we spend more time complaining out loud with others about the course of our nation, our family, our friends, our church, our pastor, than we do praying for the things we ought to be praying for? And I don't want to be a semi-praying Christian going to a semi-prayerful church. And I'm asking for God to do a work in me. And I stayed up till 2:30 praying for you guys last night, praying that God will do a work in you. That today will be the day that we're like Daniel, who opened his windows and he went and he prayed 3 times a day, even though he knew he'd get arrested for it. That we would be like Paul, who said to pray without ceasing. That we would be like Jesus, who got up early in the morning and went out alone to be with his Father. What might God do if we pray? I'm closing with this. After Solomon completed the temple that he built for God, God responded. Now, if you remember, David, his father, wanted to build the temple. But because David was a man of war, God was going to allow Solomon to do this. So David, he got all the material ready. And then Solomon had it built. And at its dedication, you read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now, we do not have the ancient temple anymore, do we? And we sure can't get there if we did. Are we to despair? Are we to build another? Is this the house of prayer? I do believe we should learn from Solomon and the temple and God's word, because I do believe it applies to us. Because guess what? We are the temple of God. Each one of you in here being built up into a house for God, singularly and together. Do you not know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit? Paul questioned them. Did you not know that? When we gather together for prayer, He will hear our prayers. When we get alone in our closet, He will hear our prayers. He says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Will we pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words on prayer. Lord, it's almost unbelievable to me that I'm a person that can communicate with the one who spoke everything into being. Lord, I don't even know what to think about that. And I don't know why I don't pray more than I do. I make no sense to myself. I don't know why, as a church, we don't pray more than we do. We get to pray to you. We get to know who you are, Lord. What a privilege, God, you have given us. May we not take it for granted. Will you help us, Lord, not to take such a privilege for granted? May our faith be on display through our prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.